These are the 5 stages of the emotional cycle of change and how to make the dips shallower and shorter. Welcome to the PBL Simplified Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Stoyer, and today we're talking about change process. If you're an educator listening to this, you're a leader, a principal, assistant superintendent, you are leading people and you're leading change, or you're listening to the wrong podcast. But once you start moving things from a traditional classroom to project-based learning, service learning, some student-centered model, you're now involved in the change process. And the change process would be really easy. I've got all the tips, the tricks, the structures, the resources you need for project-based learning, except there's people involved. If there were no people involved in change, it'd be a piece of cake, you'd have no problem. You can just stay attuned to your tasks, but there's relationships to be built. There's people to move through this process. And information and knowledge may be part of it, but it's only a small part. So we've got these 5 stages of the cycle of change, and I think they're valid for us. I will tell you that I am one of those people, probably just like you, who's a mover, a pusher, you know, a 3 on the Enneagram scale, a high D, right? Like, we're gonna move things forward because we see it, now we're gonna do it. But again, you've got people that are not like you. You've got people that are gonna go through these 5 cycles, and I would even say, as much as I try to push against these 5 stages, I probably go through them. But what we found is that we have structures and processes, people, inspiration, vision, that can make the lows less low and make them a little bit shorter. So your people are still probably gonna go through them. You're probably gonna go through these stages, but they don't have to last as long because you're not doing it on your own and it's not your first time. So let's take a look at the 5 stages of the change cycle. As you'll see on the screen, stage 1 is uninformed optimism. This is a fun time. We're dreaming, we're visioning. Oh, school could be so much better. I can't believe we used to do that. Now we're gonna do this. Like, we run a futures protocol in our design days, and we take you and your leadership team through this process. And it's always high energy. People are excited about it, and they can see the future. They can see the vision. And you want to hang on to that. It's part of what design days is to hang on to that. But part of design days is to also say, hey, guys, there's a cost to this. Because that moves you into stage 2. Stage 2, you'll see the line of optimism versus pessimism, and you just start to go underneath that line into pessimism. Because while the first cycle is exciting and is full of optimism, the second stage is going to be your informed pessimism. So now what happens typically in this cycle is you were really excited about the vision and the place you were going to go, but now you're like, there's a cost to this. So what is the cost? We hadn't thought about this. We didn't think about the hard work, the insecurities that might come out. We might have some obstacles we hadn't thought about before. We're going to have to problem solve. We're going to have to think critically. And this is all about adults. We're not even talking about kids yet. So in stage 2, there's this informed pessimism. Right? So you're starting to come down on the cycle. We were all excited about what we could be doing. Now we have to do it, and it gets hard. And that's okay. That's part of the process. Now, what we do in design days, actually, is we try to bring up some of these costs that are going to come up. So before you leave, you kind of go through the optimism, and we're there with you as you get to some of the informed pessimism, like, oh, this is going to be hard. But you can start to think through how you're going to get through those first couple of obstacles. Because then you're going down into, and it sounds really bad, stage 3, the valley of despair. Oh, no, like, we're despairing. Like, this is our lowest point emotionally. We're down in the bottom of this pessimistic valley. And this is where a lot of people turn back. Give you 2 examples that we've seen. One that we went through is Magnify Learning as the organization. Real early on, we're doing a lot of great work. People are like, yes, 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 we want to do all of this. We hit, COVID was in there, we'd pivoted, but somewhere in there, it was hard, right? And if you've started something new, you get it. It was hard. And this other job came up, a job. So I founded Magnify Learning, standing on the shoulder of giants. There's a lot of work that went into this from a lot of different people, but I started the organization, started the business. And when you do that, it's different, right? You're an entrepreneur, so there's no insurance, there's no bank of money that pays you. And then eventually you hire someone, and now you're actually responsible for their salary. And at one point, we were in the valley of despair, or I was, right? And we saw this other job was an after-school job, and it had benefits and steady pay, and it was like, maybe that's the best thing for my family and my 5 kids. So I've got 5 kids, and so how are we going to work this out? And we looked at it, and I talked to some close advisors, and I said, well, what happens if I take this? And they said, well, Ryan, you could take it. Like, if it's the best thing for your family, go ahead, but understand that Magnify Learning is done. Like, It'll just be done. There's not enough structure to it yet. You can't sell it. Like, nobody's going to be able to take this over. It's too much you, right? And there was some hard thinking down in the Valley of Despair. So you want people with you so it's not as deep and it's not as long. And what helped me was the vision that we talked about at the beginning, that optimism. Like, there was a second of like, yeah, maybe we should play it safe. Maybe we should have insurance and all these different things. But then the vision was like, this all goes away? But we've got this vision of all these schools using project-based learning. We've seen that it works. Like, how do we do that? So my wife and I had that conversation. We jumped in. Like, yeah, let's do it. And that took us out of the Valley of Despair, up into informed optimism. But let me tell you another story before we get there. Because what happens in the Valley of Despair is, in the project-based learning world, is you, and probably not you, hopefully it's not you, but we've seen people grab some of our resources, which is fine. We're building a movement, not an empire. We want to share, but they'll take it and then we never hear from them again. So they go and they're excited. They're in stage one. They start doing some of the work. They get into stage two. They get into stage three in the Valley of Despair. They don't have coaching. They don't have training. They don't have supports built up, and they turn back. Because what the research shows then is that you're going to turn back around and you're going to go through steps one through three again. You're going to try something different. So when you get in the Valley of Despair, one, I want you to know it's coming, whether it's you or some of your staff members, like they're gonna be there. They're gonna be like, this is not working. Project-based learning isn't working. It's hard. I don't get it. The kids really like it, but what do I do? And then we're gonna push through that to informed optimism. And if you notice on the chart, it goes just above that line.
Did you just have a major PBL win and you've gotta share it with somebody? Let's do it on the podcast. If you go to pblshare.com, you can share your win, and then I'm going to bring it to people right here on the podcast so that all of our listeners can hear it. You need to share your wins. It's good for you, right? But it's also good for other people who are in the trenches doing this work, trying to change school culture, trying to change instructional methods, trying to change mindsets. It's hard work. We need to hear your wins because it's encouraging. So go to pblshare.com to share your win today.
Because now, if we use our project-based learning example, your staff has been really excited about it in stage one. The leadership team says, yes, let's move. They start to see the costs. It gets tough. Should we really be doing this? Is this the right idea? It gets harder. There's some pushback. Maybe you get a parent comment that isn't great. You get a teacher that's loud and doesn't like it. So what do? You can go back through steps one through three, but your vision that you start with pushes you through. The support structures that you have, whether it's coaching, whether it's leadership coaching, teacher coaching, coaching your coaches, all the resources that you have push you through. You look at your successes and your vision to informed optimism. So now you're excited about that vision still, but now you have a reason to be because you have your own success stories from your school. Your leadership team started to implement PBL because you have some teacher leaders on there. And now those stories are starting to propel people above that pessimistic line. Because if you put your staff going through this, they're not all going to be in the same place at the same time. Gosh, that would be awesome. If you created kind of this live graph of all of your staff and where they're at on the emotional cycle of change, it'd be awesome. But those local success stories are going to take your innovators, your early adopters, your early majority up into that informed optimism stage. And that's when you can't stop. Like, it seems like, things are great. It's going well, but you cannot stop at this stage. That's why there's still another one. There's still five. Because you want to get to success and fulfillment. Now, you as the leader have structures and processes. Maybe it's through your PLC process. Maybe it's tuning protocols. Nobody implements a PBL in your building unless it goes through a tuning protocol with an adult. And that structure starts to build more success. Success builds fulfillment. And now this is just what we do. Was it hard to get here? Yeah, it sure was. Like, tell that story, right? Like, we started here and boom, it got hard. And then we got to the other side. But look, here we are. Now it's just what we do. And now, at this point, your late majority has joined you, right? So your late majority is above the optimistic line. They still want structures. They still want training. They still want to know, like, how they get from A to Z, because that's what late majority wants. But they're with you now. They're above the optimism line. Now your laggards, you might have to pull them a little bit more. They might never come up, but they're better. They're not in the Valley of Despair. They're with you. So now your staff has made it through that valley. And what you want to do, I think, the key is one, as somebody who likes to think that I'm unique, creative, and visionary, I like to think this doesn't apply to me. But then I look back at my life and go, yeah, probably. So then I think what's the next question you ask is, how do you make the valley not so deep? Like, if you know your staff are going to get to a place where it's hard, what can you implement in those hard times to make sure that they don't go all the way down and want to start over? And I'll give you a hint. It's not just nachos. Now, it might be nachos. Nachos help. But you're going to want to have extra supports when it starts to get tough. Or you just say, hey, guys, we're going to hit there. It's going to get tough, but it's worth it. Remember the vision. You keep talking about the vision day in and day out. You talk about the vision, about a student-centered classroom, empowered learners. They're not passive. They're aggressively going after their college courses. They're aggressively going after their jobs after school. Like, they know who they are and what they want to do. That's what we want, right? Yes, that's what we want. Okay, let's get fired up and go do it again. And you can make that valley not so low. And I think you can also make it so it's not so long. Do you see that long? Yeah, it takes a long time to get down there. I think you can make it not so long. You can squeeze that up and get your folks to that fourth stage of informed optimism. I think the success stories in your school are really important. Because yes, we've got a lot of data that it works in schools, like our model schools. We have that. And I can send you there. I want to. Like, design days are usually held at a model school site. Maybe it's Missouri, or it's in Indiana or Florida. You pick the site, Kentucky, whatever you want to pick. But then you still have to say, that's great for them. What about us? So when you build your own success stories, that trough is not as long, right? Because you have those stories locally that can pull your folks up into informed optimism. Because you want optimism. You don't want it fake, though, right? You want it to be informed. Like, we know it's going to be hard. It's change process. Change process is hard. It's what we do. But here's what we're going to do to make sure it's not too hard. Here's what we're going to do to make sure that we don't get stuck in the valley of despair. We're going to pull each other up. In PLCs, this is what we're going to do. As teams, this is what we're going to do. Group contracts are there to help you. The planning process is there to help you. Tuning protocols are there to help you. Your coaches are there to help you. Right? And that's going to pull us up into informed optimism. And then, like, the model schools you go visit, they're in success and fulfillment. Like, they have processes that are training their people. Somebody new comes in, they go right into the culture. Boom, 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 boom. And now they understand what that process is, and they have helps to get people through this change process. So that's the five stages of the cycle of change, and that comes from psychologists Don Kelly and Daryl Connor. I heard it actually through the 12-week year, which is a process I really love about goal setting and getting things done. Maybe we should talk about that on the podcast at some point. But it's about the intentionality of the work. And if you're a leader that's still with me on this podcast, then you believe in the intentionality of the work, that we're not just going to see what happens. We're not going to plan every step out. We're going to have formative assessments essentially for ourselves and for our staff. Where are you at? Where do you need to be? And we're going to get you there. But it's the intentionality day in and day out that makes things work. So I hope that this graphic on the screen, and we can give you a link to it. But as you look at this emotional cycle of change, I want you to think, especially if you're that high D like I am, and maybe you're not even necessarily a people person right away. You're task-oriented. That happens a lot for us too. You need to understand that even if this cycle doesn't affect you as much and you can pull yourself through it, not everybody can, right? Not everybody can. So as you're talking to your APs and your coaches, I want you to think through the idea of, like, who's going to have a hard time when we get down below the optimism level? Once we get into the work and we have to count the costs and we have to do the work, and how can we support them, right? Because they're all going to need to be supported in different ways. And we're actually going to have a couple of podcasts from now. Next month, we're going to talk about the innovation curve and where your people are at and how you can help train and assist them. So I hope this is helpful for you. You can take it back to your leadership team and start to plan how you're going to move from a traditional school system to a project-based learning system that is student-centered and doing amazing, amazing things. As we approach the summer training season, we'll have some links in the description where you can look at some open workshops that are virtual. So wherever you're at in the country, you can join us for either a jumpstart, advanced, or maybe even certification if you're crushing it, or we can come right to you. I will tell you, though, that at this point, we're only going to work with 41 schools. Might be that way for you. 41 schools. So our calendar is going to fill up. So make sure that you schedule a time so we can talk about what your vision is and how we can fulfill that vision with an on-site design days and a PBL workshop that's directly at your school, customized for your vision, your environment, your staff. Thank you for joining me today on the PBL Simplified Podcast. Go out and lead inspired.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the PBL Simplified Podcast. I appreciate you. I'm honored that you tune in each week. Would you please take 2 minutes to leave a rating and a review? When you leave a review, it lets the next person know that this is a podcast worth listening to. When they go into their player and search project-based learning and PBL Simplified popped up, when they see those reviews, they know that high-quality visionary leaders are listening. So they tune in too, and they can find their way into the PBL journey. Thank you so much for leaving a review. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you.